Here's what I want you to do for me. Now, if you can, close your eyes. And I want you to paint a portrait in your mind of the wilderness. Now imagine, what does the wilderness look like to you? I want you to think what is or maybe isn't in your wilderness. And if you had to live in the wilderness, what would those living conditions be like? So just kind of paint that picture in your mind right now. What's there? Today, we are going to study the word wilderness and the unnamed and named women from the Book of Mormon who lived in the wilderness. And not just lived, but thrived, which is a lot more than I can say for many of us who struggle to live in the city. Welcome to the third episode of Unnamed Women of the Book of Mormon, a special bonus series from Sunday on Monday podcast brought to you by LDS Living and Deseret Bookshelf Plus. Now, what is Sunday on Monday? It is a weekly podcast where we take the Come Follow Me lesson for the week and we really dig into the scriptures together. If you want to know more information about the podcast, click in our link for a description, or you can go to ldsliving.com/Sunday on Monday and you can sign up for Deseret Bookshelf Plus for free for this summer and have access to all of our summer episodes, because this summer we are calling it our Summer of Joy, and Deseret Bookshelf Plus is making all of the summer episodes accessible to everyone, and you're going to have so much fun as you study with my friends and myself. Now, my favorite thing about Sunday on Monday and this podcast is that I get to invite friends to join me and discuss the scriptures. So each week it's a little bit different. And so this week, the guest that I have joining me for this Women in the Book of Mormon in the Wilderness is, I love these two so much. It's Ellery Howarth and Holly Howarth. Hi, ladies.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Okay, how do you two know each other?
Since birth for me.
I'm Ellery's mom.
She's my mama. She's Mama Hosballs.
Yes, she is. Indeed. We love her so much. Here's how I know these two, because Ellery's aunt, Amy, who is Holly's sister, Amy. Amy and I are the best of friends and we live together and all that fun stuff back in our single days. And so I got to meet Holly and then I met Ellery. And Ellery, you were just such a cute, tiny little girl. You're darling with your big bows in your hair and all that cute smocked dress that your mom made you wear. I mean, you were just, you're still as adorable, but when you were little, for sure. And I just
she's
watched.
Still my favorite daughter.
Of course she is.
She hates when I say that because I only
I'm
have
her
daughter.
Only daughter.
One of four boys. Ellery's the queen of the family, for sure. And has not changed. She is as lovely and wonderful now as she was when she was little. I've loved watching her grow up. And Ellery, tell everybody your exciting news. What are you getting right now? What are you preparing to do in the fall?
Oh, I started law school in August here in Dallas.
Where are you going to law school?
I'm going to UNT, University of North Texas. They started a law school 3 years ago, and it's downtown Dallas. Going to take public transport to get there. Super excited.
Oh, you should. Okay, well, I just thought, you know what? For this discussion of women in the wilderness, I knew it had to be you two. Because you both, like we said, Ellery has very strong opinions about things. She's very all about women and strong women. And this is about strong women. And Holly, I love Holly's opinion on things. And many of you know Holly, if you're listening, she's been on several episodes in the past. She's my friend who is the most fun person to eat with because she's so descriptive. Like she does such a good job of describing in detail the way things taste, right? Ellery, you're shaking your head.
Oh, yeah. We always call her a super taster. She should have gone to one of those schools.
It's true.
Yeah. Like she has she has strong opinions on things.
Mm-hmm. And she's a strong woman.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she is. So this is going to be a really, really fun discussion for us.
But fun first is always my motto.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true. Fun first is Holly's motto. She made me a plaque. It's in my laundry room.
It's the family motto.
Well, then this is going to be fun. Who are we kidding? It's going to be a fun discussion. Okay. And we're only studying 3 verses of scripture for this whole discussion, pretty much. It comes from the Book of Mormon in 1 Nephi, chapter 17. And I just assigned you guys verses 1-3. That's it. So let's just start with verse 1, okay? We're going to go right into this verse, and then I have Ellery. I assigned her to do something. So Ellery, will you read verse 1 for us?
Yes, ma'am. And it came to pass that we did again take our journey in the wilderness, and we did travel nearly eastward from that time forth. And we did travel and wade through much affliction in the wilderness. And our woman did bear children in the wilderness.
Thank you. Okay. So before I have Ellery describe this wilderness, I want to know from the two of you, when I asked you to close your eyes and imagine the wilderness, what did you think? What does your wilderness look like?
Well, my wilderness is definitely hilly, has a lot of hills up Ooh. And down. Like you're going to have a lot of elevation gain. And when you're going through the wilderness, it's not just completely flat. First of all, that would be boring and it's got to be really hard, right? Really, really hard. So going up a lot of hills would be really hard. And of course, my wilderness would also include rattlesnakes because I'm terrified of them.
You are.
So, and animals, because they scare me as well. Just to throw that in the mix, it's not only, you know, those conditions, but obviously dry and hot. That's what I think.
Do you have trees in your wilderness?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay. But the path I have to be on to get through it is exposed, you know, so you're hot. And
that's where the snakes are on the path.
They're on the path.
Because there's no shade.
Oh, now that's so interesting. Okay, I can't wait to hear Ellery's, and then I'll tell you mine. This
mine's a little different because, I mean, I'm thinking my personal wilderness is me going back on my mission and having to wear garments that are a little too tight and dresses, and it's, you know, 100 degree with 100% humidity, and I'm climbing streets and dust and dogs coming at me, and I don't speak the language of anyone there, so they're no help. And when you go to ask for water, they give you a Coca-Cola instead, and you just cry. That's my wilderness.
Where did you serve?
Remind us. Guatemala. Sorry. Guatemala. I have a very vivid street in my head of, I remember trekking up it every single day, and I'm like, oh, if I'm in the wilderness, I'm making that trek again.
Wow.
With my backpack full of pamphlets. My companion driving me crazy. But like, if I'm thinking of like a wilderness, something hot, humid, busy, a ton of people, but no one's talking to me. No one's engaging with me. They're almost like NPCs, you know, like computer game people who don't, can't communicate real. With them. They can't help you. They're not real.
Okay, I'm quite confident that a psychologist could listen to these and tell everything about us that they need to know, because none of ours are the same. Mine is flat, completely flat. There's not a single hill in sight. Tumbleweeds are blowing by. There's a hot wind. It is super duper hot. The sun is beating on my neck and I'm getting fried, so sunburned. And I have on sandals and my feet are sweaty and they have sand stuck all over them and I have dirty feet. And it's just, I'm hot. I'm so hot and I'm sweating. That's my, no trees at all. Maybe a cactus here and there. Mm. So isn't that interesting? We all had completely different wildernesses. Well, since you gave us your wildernesses, then I asked Ellery to tell us what wilderness we're talking about here. And I asked her because Ellery did some time over in Israel and in this area. So Ellery, tell us what the wilderness would have looked like for these people. They're actually in a wilderness now. They're not even imagining it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this wilderness is hot and sandy, kind of like we were talking. I texted my whole family yesterday because I was looking at pictures of me in Israel, and I'm like, you know what it looks like? San Rafael Swells. If you've ever been there, it's in southern Utah. It's, by Utah standards, it's pretty flat with some hills, not a tree in sight, and like a lot of weeds. I don't know what to call them. They're like teeny tiny bushes. They're no bigger than a soccer ball.
Okay.
You know? Just littered everywhere. And it's not mountainous, it's hilly. And it's hot, there's no water. I saw one tree the whole time.
Really?
I was there. I actually have a picture of it because I was like, I saw a tree. And it wasn't a big tree.
No.
No shade. Couldn't chop it down for anything useful. But yeah, and it was really hot, very hot. Windy, it was really windy. We went sandboarding while we were there, right on the border of the southern border. What is that? Saudi Arabia. And it's just sand. Like you were walking and your feet would sink and you're like, oh, okay.
Was the sand hot?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. We were sandboarding, and when you would fall, it would hurt, but then the sand was hot. And so it was like, oh my gosh.
Now, if people had to live in these conditions, how are they living?
They have tents, big tents. So a lot of Bedouins still live in that area. So when we were driving around, we saw them a lot. They're covered head to toe because the sun is just blistering. So, you know, they're covering their necks. They even covered their faces because the wind will blow into you. I don't know how they got their water, to be
No, I
honest.
wouldn't know either.
But, you know, if you ever saw the Prince of Egypt, you know, when he
Oh, yeah.
goes out and he meets, you know, his wife and all those people, they live in tents, like that kind of
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
That makes sense. Okay, I want us to just kind of be imagining this then, because this is the scenario for the wilderness that they're living in. And as you guys described this, let's go ahead and read the next verse, verse 2, because this is what kind of blew me away and why I want your opinions on this. So, Holly, will you read verse 2 for us?
Yes, and I'm glad I'm reading it because I have a comment. And so great were the blessings of the Lord upon us that while we did live upon raw meat in the wilderness, our women did give plenty of suck for their children and were strong, yea, even like unto the men. And they began to bear their journeyings without murmurings.
All right, hit it, Holly. What do you got to say?
Well, I got a couple things to say, but the thing that intrigued me the most was they began to bear their journeyings without murmurings.
Ooh.
So to me, that says they started off not super happy about their journey. And they were out there for a while before they started because they're having babies. So that was at least 9 months that they were out there before they started bearing it. Well, you know. But it says they were blessed. So and they ate, you know, the raw meat. But I, you know, if I'm liking it unto me, you know, when we're in the wilderness, it's like we're not real happy about it all the time. And to me, it's okay. It's okay that we're not happy about it all the time. You know, we're not supposed to just sit there and be happy all the time about everything. And but I also loved that there were the so great were the blessings of the Lord. So this quote that I love, it says, "We can thrive in the middle of hard." That's what they're doing. They're thriving in the middle of hard because it's hard. And they didn't like it at first because now we know they began. So anyway, I just find that really intriguing that it wasn't like, oh, okay, we've got to leave and just happy and we have to live out here for years. And when my kids were littler, I always had little themes for the year, but this is definitely going to be my theme. We can thrive in the middle of hard because that's our life, right? And they're thriving. They're having children. I mean, that's a beautiful thing. You're thriving. So your bodies are healthy enough where you can get pregnant and carry the baby. I mean, that's incredible right there. And then I love that the women were strong like the men. Because we all know I am. And I went to a personal trainer that earlier this year, and this cute little Irish woman, and she says to me, in all my career, I've only met three women. You're the third who are freakishly strong. You are freakishly strong like the men. But they have to be. These women have to be if you're out there walking around in that hot sand.
I've
Oh.
never noticed the word began.
That struck me so hard when I read it.
And then it came after they recognized the blessings.
Yep.
That's what I love. It didn't say that they began when they walked into the wilderness. Like they were already in it, traveling, traversing. Oh my gosh, Holly, that's so good.
Well, it kind of reminds me, I think for most of us, we always think, I'm going to be happy when this happens. I'm going to be happy when that happens. I'm going to be happy when we're out of the wilderness. So, and we'll talk about it, right? They get out of the wilderness, now they're on a boat. Well, that wasn't so happy either. You know, you think like this is really going to be happy. And we all tend to do that in our lives. When this happens, then I'm going to be happy. When I get married, then I'm going to be happy. When I have children, when I graduate from college, then I'll be happy. You know, it's always when. And that's unfortunately, that's not how life works. And you have to find joy in the journey. And you have to look for those perfect moments, because your life's not going to be perfect. Your weeks are not going to be perfect. But you're going to have perfect moments. And there were probably a lot of perfect moments when they found the meat and they all got to fill up, you know, and be full and sit around and relax and laugh as a family and talk, you know, that's a perfect moment. Or having a child, that's a perfect moment, and that baby laughing, or, you know, there's perfect moments throughout the day. And the more you recognize those perfect moments, then I think you begin to bear things better.
Well said.
Writing all this down.
So I kind of feel like that's what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with my mom. She is freakishly strong. No, I really liked what you were saying that, like, well, okay. When I read that they were strong, I thought mentally, because as my mom and I are both strong women, you know, no one has ever thought Holly and I are weak. However, I do feel like the mental capacity, though, to be out in the wilderness, and I'm not a mother. I have friends who are, you know, I have siblings, their spouses are mothers, and they're strong women. But I think the mental toll it takes to think, you know, oh my gosh, we're in the wilderness. I am not eating enough. Am I going to produce milk? Okay, here's my example. Trek. Long live Trek. It's my favorite thing to tell non-members about. It's my favorite thing to show up pictures at when I'm at events, because no one gets it, because it's weird, right? Mm-hmm. Trek is the weirdest thing. I did great on Trek, you know? Like, physically, I did everything, but, like, mentally, Trek was really hard for me.
Why?
Well, because I felt like I was doing all the work.
Okay.
Because I was. But I'm like, everyone just frustrated me, and I was like, this isn't fun. Like, I like attention. I'm like, no one's noticing all that I'm doing, you know?
And there were annoying people.
There were annoying people.
In your family.
And I was just bugged. I'm like, this is so weird. Why are we here? I don't want to be here. I'm sure I had something that week that I would have preferred to have been doing. And so I was strong during Trek, but mentally I wasn't strong, you know? I'm not a picky eater, but I am when other people are cooking.
Okay.
And, you know, Trek food is mass produced. And so I remember, like, I didn't eat a ton because I didn't like the type of food they were making. And so I just mentally, it took a toll on me. I remember feeling very weighed down, and I felt sad, and I was mad. So that's kind of like what I think of, like, in the wilderness for them. Yes, they were physically strong, but they must have been blessed mentally. And as a mother, I'm just an aunt, and I worry about these kids so much. Like, I can't imagine, like, a mother being in the wilderness. Like, are there snakes there? Are they going to run away? Illness.
Yeah.
When is this going to end? Are my children going to grow up their whole lives here? Are they ever going to get married? You know, like, what's the dating pool? You know, I don't even know.
It would be, the selection would be real slim.
Yeah.
So all of these worries. I like everything you have said. Both of you have brought so much insight to this verse, because for me, I couldn't even get that far into thinking. I was so struck with the fact that they ate raw meat and were able to give plenty of suck. They were able to breastfeed on raw meat. That stopped me, because I didn't get married till I was older. I had my first child when I was 36. Yeah, I think 36. No one told me how hungry I would be. I ate nonstop when I was breastfeeding. In fact, I remember thinking, am I eating too much? Like, and all I craved was peanut butter. I wanted peanut butter and crackers all day long. And I ate so much food. And it just floored me how I used all of that to produce milk. But I was so hungry. And if someone said to me, well, all you get is raw meat, I'm out. Like, I don't want to eat raw meat.
And what about the water when I'm nursing?
Yeah.
It's like life is being sucked out of me. Every ounce of moisture is coming.
I remember you having a big thing with ice water
always.
Next to you when you breastfed.
You have to, because And so my daughter-in-law lives with us and she's nursing and she's always like, I don't understand why I'm so hungry all the time.
It's so true.
And she, because when she was pregnant, she was super sick. And also, you know, there's always so much that comes out, but when you're pregnant and you're walking and through all of that, and they say, it's like running a marathon every day. That's how much energy it takes when you're pregnant every day for the baby, for what you're growing inside of you, for these women, and how tiring, how exhausted.
I slept all the time, and I'm not a nap taker. That's the other thing. I'm like, am I lazy? What's my problem? I was tired all day, every day. I had to take naps. And I remember Sarah.
Nursing makes you tired as well.
Oh, it totally does. I remember calling Sarah one time, our friend Sarah, and I said, I'm just so tired all the time. I don't know what my problem is. And Sarah goes, because you built a kidney today. You're a little exhausted because you just created someone's liver. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I'm creating human life. I should be tired. Oh my gosh. I mean, think about that. All of that, when you consider everything we've just talked about, and here we are, and it says that they, I love it, began to bear their journeys without murmurings. And then we get into verse 3. And verse 3 is the like, okay, the so what? So why would this be put in the scriptures? We know they're in the wilderness. That's really awesome that they were protected. And I love our so what to this story. It's verse 3. Ellery, you read that for us.
And thus we see that the commandments of God must be fulfilled. And if it so be that the children of men keep the commandments of God, he doth nourish them and strengthen them and provide means whereby they can accomplish the thing which he has commanded them. Wherefore, he did provide means for us while we did sojourn in the wilderness.
Thank you. I mean, we love that. We know we love an if and then statement. If you keep the commandments, then he doth nourish them. And I thought a lot about this and I asked you guys to kind of think about what this means. Like, what does it mean when you hear if they keep the commandments? What commandments are we talking about? What commandments were they keeping?
The Ten Commandments.
And that's what I think of. And I love this idea where if the first and great commandment given to us is to love God, right? And the second is likened to it, to love your neighbor. Those are the first two great commandments you could possibly keep. There must have been a lot of love right here. They must have loved God and loved each other so much. Because isn't it fascinating then that the Ten Commandments are set up so we can do those two things? The first five are so that we can love God because they're about God. And the next five are about mankind and how we can love man. And so whatever way you're loving God and loving man is how you're keeping the Ten Commandments. And I think it's really important for us to remember this because they were blessed for keeping the two great commandments, loving God and loving mankind. Now, when I put it into that framework right there, how would you then describe, how are you able, like, what does it look like, Ellery, for you to love God and love man on a daily basis? Are you keeping the Ten Commandments?
Are you asking me personally?
Yeah.
Oh. To love God. Well, I've been struggling. It's not a secret to anyone who knows me. With my relationship with God. A lot recently. So that's a good question. And I'm trying to figure it out myself. If I'm honest, I struggle with, does God love me? And so showing him I love him is hard because I don't want to give love away if I'm not receiving it. But the past few months, I've been on my own spiritual faith journey or whatever you want to call it. You know, when I recorded previous episodes, I used to have a saying where my God's not cruel. But I started believing that again, that he was cruel. And I'm trying to unlearn that now.
Of course you are.
Sorry. But right now, I'm doing the little things to show God I love him. I've started praying again. I prayed over my food today, which is something I haven't done in 3 years.
Good job, Elle.
Thank you.
No, don't say it like that. You take that as a win. That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've started reading the scriptures. I reread my patriarchal blessing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to my mom about this. I don't have a hard time with my patriarchal blessing, but I guess I do. Because, you know, in it, it says that you will find an fine priesthood holder and get married in the temple of the Lord. And so in my mind, I'm like, well, if that's never going to come true, like, does that negate everything else?
Sure.
And the end of my patriarchal blessing talks about how much the Savior loves me. And so that's been hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if one thing for sure is not happening, does that negate the rest? Anyways, this is such a long-winded answer to say, I don't know how I show God I love him. Recently, it's been staying alive. And I'm trying to be a better person. I'm trying to be... I'm trying to be a light for others. That's the only way I can get through this right now. When I'm going through a hard time, I just need to be... What makes me feel better is helping others. And maybe that is a way I can show God I love him. And at the same time, showing, you know, other people I love them. You know, just simple things. Like at work, I talked to the new girl the other day. That was really easy. You know, I brought, my friend was having a hard day. They just opened up a swig down the street here in Texas. And I said, I'm going to change your life. I'm going to take this swig. And her mom go every day now, you know, and I'm like, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, so that for me is how I'm trying to figure it out. Long story short, I'm trying to figure out how I show God I love him. But I think at first I need
to be better at believing that he loves me.
I've never doubted his existence. I never have doubted, you know, our Savior and the importance and everything like that. I think just with me and my lived experiences and who I am as a person, I'm gay. Sorry for everyone who may not know me. you know, I grew up thinking I was an abomination. And I believed it with all my heart. And so, I have a hard time believing that a loving God who loves all his children would make me this way and then put me in a home with loving parents, but in a, and then show me the way to get back to him, but then realize I get, there's no place for me there.
For sure.
That doesn't feel like a loving Heavenly Father to me. So I'm trying to learn and figure out what that looks like, if that makes sense. Sorry, Mom.
Jeez.
You were great. You were great, Mom. She, you know,
I just thought I was,
I know we're going off track.
No.
And, but I recently went through a breakup, and so I'm making a lot of new friends who are also,
you know, queer women in the Dallas area.
And they, you know, the number one question when you get close to other queer people is, or how's your family?
Mm-hmm.
And I am so honored to say that I have the most wonderful parents. I hear stories of all of these girls who are beautiful, smart, kind, athletic, just like me. And I hear the things about their parents. You know what? That's how I know God loves me, because I saw it through my mom and my dad. I was so scared for so long. And then when everything happened, they were there and they loved me. And so I think that's what holds me on.
Let me ask you this, Ellery. I have a question. I'm wondering about your mom and dad, Robert and Holly. Is their love transactional? Do you have to earn it?
No, you don't have to earn their love. No.
You don't, do you?
You have to earn their like, though.
Different. Totally different question.
Totally different question. No, their love is unconditional.
Right? And so I want you to just for a minute, do you have a piece of paper? Get a piece of paper out.
Oh, and grandma's
I'll give you
house?
Time. Yep, go find a piece of paper or a journal.
All right.
Okay. I want you to write down what you just said. I know that God loves me because I have my parents. So write that down. Let's not forget that moment because I felt the Spirit so strong when you said that. That's why he gives us loving parents. And if your parents' love is not transactional, neither is God's. He loves. He loves no matter what. It's not transactional. He is love through and through.
Yeah.
He loves Ellery. Okay, now sit with that for just a second. And you're going to love this so much because I'm going to show you all this cool Hebrew stuff. So Ellery did some time in Israel and we bond over this. So I'm going to show you some things in Hebrew and I want you just to write down everything that comes to your mind. And then I'm going to ask you both to share with me what you wrote on your piece of paper. Okay. Okay. So I'm going to show her some things and a quote. And then afterwards, I'm going to turn it over to you guys to tell me what you learned. Okay. Here we go. So I've been studying the word wilderness in Hebrew for the last year and my Hebrew teacher taught me something completely outstanding. Like it blew my mind. Now here it is. So in Hebrew, the word for wilderness is midbar, M-I-D-B-A-R, midbar. And the root for this word is dabar, D-A-B-A-R. Now the word dabar means word, but not just word. This is so cool. It means the word of God as divine communication in the form of commandments or words of help for his people. And it blew my mind that the word of God giving help to his people is found in the wilderness. Like the word dabar is inside of midbar. And so when we see this story right here, we see that God gave all of his people help in when they were in their wilderness, when they're having their moment. And I love this story, how we started out, because I guarantee, I mean, I'm just thinking about this, especially the way you started out, Holly. They began to bear their journeys without murmurings. I'm quite confident many of them walked into the wilderness thinking God hated them. Like, what are we doing? Are you kidding me? This is terrible. There's no way he wanted me to go through this. Or why would he let us live in such a beautiful, cushy place only to rip us out and have us live in the wilderness? It's hot. It's barren. There are hills. It must have been awful for them. So then I get into more of the wilderness word. And here's what I found out. So the word wilderness in scriptures appears over 500 times in all of scripture. So it's got to be pretty important. And every time you read about the word wilderness in scriptures, it's people going into the wilderness, traveling through the wilderness, or they're going out of the wilderness. Those are our three experiences with this word. And when we think about this, there's such a cool quote by a rabbi. His name's Rabbi Stephen Kushner. And here's what he wants us to understand about the wilderness. So he's citing the example of the children of Israel, how they were in Egypt and they knew they didn't want to stay there anymore because it was miserable. And they were promised if they left Egypt, they could go to the promised land. That's where they wanted to go. And it was the same for the Nephites. Here they are in the wilderness and their goal, if you look at 1 Nephi 18, in fact, just turn the page really quickly to 1 Nephi chapter 18 and look at the section heading for it. Holly, read the section heading for 1 Nephi 18.
The ship is finished. The births of Jacob and Joseph are mentioned. The company embarks for the promised land. The sons of Ishmael and their wives join in revelry and rebellion. Nephi is bound, and the ship is driven back by a terrible tempest. Nephi is freed, and by his prayer, the storm ceases. The people arrive in the promised land.
There it is. They just wanted to get to the promised land. Okay, so here's what the rabbi has to say about this. So this is such a cool quote. Okay, here we go. Ellery, will you read this quote for us?
Yes. If you want to leave your Egypt and get to your promised land, you have to be willing to traverse wilderness. Midbar is a place of nothing. It is empty. There are no guarantees in wilderness, no assurances. It can be scary. It is a place of wandering, which at times feels endless, but is also a place of discovery.
Midbar, from the root bar, which also is the root for word in Hebrew,
which is Torah, God's word,
is found.
Wilderness is where we meet God. Wilderness is where we encounter ourself.
It is the place of growth,
and there is no getting around it. Midbar is the only way to the promised land. It is a sacred place.
Thank you. I love this quote so much because I used to think that the wilderness, that they were isolated moments in our life, like, oh, I'm going to the wilderness now. Turns out this life is the wilderness from the moment we're born till the day we die. And we're all trying to get to the promised land, which is to return to our heavenly parents. Meanwhile, we're in the wilderness and it is awful and hard and there are hills and there are rattlesnakes and all of the yuck that we imagine. And I like how Holly said, there's also joyful moments and there are moments that we do enjoy in the wilderness. And that's a good thing too. But then Rabbi Kushner goes on to say this about the wilderness. Holly, will you read this quote?
You bet. We focus so much on the things with which we struggle. We direct so much of our attention onto our hopes and dreams. Yet the place wherein we eat and sleep and argue and love, the day-to-day journeys that move us from and to and sometimes back again, the ordinary landscape of life somehow gets overshadowed. But, well, we know it is the most important part.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Like right now, what you're experiencing in your life is the most important part. There's no other place that you would be able to truly come to a knowledge of your Father than in this wilderness. I love a God who knew that about his sweet Ellery and is counting. That's what I love about this idea. Our heavenly parents are counting on the wilderness. They know, they absolutely know how important the wilderness is for us to gain a knowledge of them and their beloved son, Jesus Christ. We couldn't do it without the wilderness. Now, go back to chapter 17. Look at the very end of verse 3. And if you go to the very end of verse 3, it says, he did provide means for us while we did sojourn in the wilderness. Well, of course, I had to look up the word sojourn. And the definition is to dwell for a time, to dwell or live in a place of temporary resident, or as a stranger, not considering the place as his permanent habitation. So we are sojourning in this wilderness, and it is not our permanent habitation. We're going to return and live with our heavenly parents. And so I love this concept of what am I doing with my wilderness? What am I doing with the time that I have to be here? And going back to how we described our own personal wildernesses, don't you love how they're all completely different? And isn't it the same for us in our own life journey? And the only way we can make it back to our heavenly parents is through the wilderness. It's the only way to do it. So give me your thoughts. Tell me everything you're thinking. What'd you write on your papers?
I love that you brought it up, how the wilderness is our life. So when I was getting ready for this, I said to Robert, oh, well, I've been in the wilderness my whole life. And it made him sad. He's like, you're in the wilderness? You feel like you're in the wilderness? I'm like, yeah, Robert, our life is in the wilderness.
It's always hard.
There's always hard things coming up. So it is the wilderness. And I think sometimes, like we were talking about, we think we're just kind of in and out and in and out. I think we just thrive in the middle of it. We can thrive in the middle of hard or the wilderness.
Oh, I love that, because now instead of having moments of wilderness, we're having moments of thriving.
Yeah. 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 We're having moments of thriving. And that's okay. That gets you through. You know, it's interesting how we are as humans. One of my very best friends has been going through something so horrible the last few weeks. And she was so sad. So she came into town this last weekend. And she said to me, life has been so hard these last 2 weeks for me. I remember thinking one night, I'll never be happy again. I'll never laugh again. I'm so sad I'll never laugh again. Because everything was so overwhelming to her, you know? And it is overwhelming, and it's hard and horrible and sad and heartbreaking what she's going through. Yet then we sat there and laughed so hard and had the greatest time. And she's like, I can't believe I'm okay. You know, I made it through that. Made it through. Doesn't mean that hard is over. But there are those perfect moments. We had them this weekend together. Yeah. And she's realizing, hey, I can get through this. I can get through this. But again, we usually get through these things, our wilderness, through other people.
Right.
And I follow this guy I just started to on Instagram. And his name's Cam. And he's from Australia. And you can put it on if you want to. But he's walking the Pacific Crest Trail.
Okay.
And today was day 37. And he's so fun to watch. And everything he's going through and how hard he started in Mexico. And he's going up through Canada. And he's such a joy to watch because he's so happy and prepared and great shape. And he shows us a little bit every day of what he's doing on his journey through the wilderness. And today was day 37. He starts it at 4. Now he's back at 7. He's like, I'm 3 hours in and I'm already out of water.
Oh.
I didn't plan very well. But I'm almost to a place where we can fill up. But the water's really low right now, and I'm hoping I can make it. So he gets to that spot, and it shows him filling up. Then he's walking, and then he gets to these, and he calls it trail magic. And it's where it's the only part in this really hard, hard part of the trail. It's in the desert, and he's really high up, and it's super hot, that there's a road that can go up there. So random people go up there just to meet these hikers and bring them stuff. Oh, so wow. He said, I got trail magic. And they brought me cold Gatorade, chicken, and fruit. And it was all on ice. And he said, that was enough for me because of them. I can make the huge climb over the pass. And it struck me that these people didn't come and throw him, you know, like pamphlets at him saying, here's what you need to read while you're in the desert, like how much water you should bring and how much food you should bring. Here's that, you know?
Yeah.
Like sometimes we do to people when they're having a hard time. We bring them things that really aren't helpful to them.
Here's the Ensign or the Liahona. Read this.
Yeah. Read this article. This is really going to help you.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't need to read a book on, you know, how much water he should have brought in the heat in the summer in June in the desert. He needed sustenance. He needed this food. He needed this encouragement. Like, you've got it, Cam. And it gave him, and I love that they're called trail magic. These people that come and give trail magic. And I think in our own, and when I look back in my life, all the trail magic that has happened to me, the people that come in our paths that are constantly lifting us and helping us and giving us what we need while we're in our wilderness. Yeah. And those women could not have done this without each other and the
Correct.
Support. They could not have done it if people weren't helping them in their journey. And we don't get to hear, unfortunately, women in the scriptures. And I was just at a little scripture study, and someone was saying, oh, I wish the women would have written down what was going on. we would know so much more. She was specifically talking about the wartime, that there was peace in the land. Like, what does that look like? We need a little more details. And how do we go about doing that? Because as women, we want to know. Because we'd like to get that right now.
Yeah, yeah.
We'd like to have peace in our families. Let's make sure we're helping out everybody in their wilderness in the way they need help. not the way we think they need help.
Amen. Powerful. Awesome. Awesome. I like that. So good.
I just imagine you throwing pamphlets at people.
Well, isn't that what some people do?
Yeah.
They think they're being helpful and they want to help. They really do.
But helping them the way they needed help is what I like that you said. It was so significant. So,
yeah.
Trail magic. I like that.
Trail magic.
Okay, Ellery, what about you? What'd you write down?
Something in those quotes that really stuck out to me was the end of the first one where the rabbi says, wilderness is where we encounter ourselves. Mm-hmm. It is a place of growth. It is a sacred place. Something I've noticed about myself is that, like, I always want to be better. I always want to be my best self. And there's nothing more unbecoming to me than a person who is stagnant in their life and with who they are as a person. I always think there's room for growth. Mm-hmm. And so I love that the wilderness is where this happens, right? If you're not uncomfortable, you're not growing. You can be happy with yourself. I'm not saying you're not happy yet, but we can always improve. We can always learn as well. I feel like learning is a big part of growth. The acquisition of knowledge is so important. In fact, that's something I've always been so grateful that my mom actually has taught all of us kids. Mm-hmm. She is always so thirsty to learn more. When she doesn't know something, she asks, right? I mean, you're her friend. You've been in Bible studies with her. She's my
older sister I never had. I go to her for everything. Holly, what's your advice on this? Because I know she's paid the price. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But my mom just has this thirst of knowledge and wants to know about anything. It doesn't just have to be, you know, intellectual. It could be, you know, personal. We'll get to know a person. And so I love that the wilderness is the place where you grow, and that's how you do it. And then if we're all in the wilderness, like if the wilderness is earth, is mortal life.
Yes.
Then in my mind, I was thinking, like, this is where we meet each other. This is where we get connection. This is so off topic, but I am a very voracious reader. I read a lot of like fantasy fairy stuff, but there's this one book series that I fell in love with because the author wrote such beautiful female, friendships. Mm. It was the first time in the type of books that I read where this main female protagonist had so many female friendships that helped her complete her hero's journey, right? And in the arc of her story, she meets them at different places. And usually some people she met when she was in a good place, some people she met in a bad. Mm. But all of these female characters that she met helped mold her into the hero that she was in different ways. And so I just loved that because that's how I feel. I love my female friendships. They mean everything to me. And I think that's also an example I got from my mom.
I was like, you just described my friendship with Holly.
Yeah.
And no, Becky and everybody, whole group of women.
Female companionship is so important.
No, but Sister Hinckley, one of my favorite things she has ever said is this. It is a sociological fact that women need women. And in fact, we're going to go ahead and include where she says that in our description. So go read that and click. You can find out where she's also quoted by other women as having said that. Okay. I could not survive without my best friends. There's just no way I would have made it through. I would not have made it this far in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And it's funny because my wilderness experiences, I always thought, well, when I get married, then I'll be out of the wilderness. Because I was single till I was 35 and I just never thought it would happen. And so I just kept thinking, oh, when I get married and when I have kids, then I'll be out of the wilderness. And then I got married and had kids and turns out it's in the wilderness still.
Yeah.
And then we have moments where we thrive for sure. Okay. But I like how you pointed out, Ellery, and you, one of the last things you said was that it is a sacred place. And I could not agree more. I think that my wilderness has been the most sacred place. I don't know that there's any other place where I have could have come to a knowledge of whom God is, who my heavenly parents are. I couldn't have done it anywhere else. This is where we were meant to be, to learn about our heavenly family. And we were born in the wilderness. This is the only place that we could learn about them. So it is a sacred place, Ellery. I love that. Wow, ladies. Well, thank you. Thank you for joining me for this episode of The Wilderness.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this time that we spent together. So many truths were spoken and the spirit was felt.
Thanks for inviting us.
Oh my goodness. You know what? Thank you for tuning into this bonus episode from the Sunday on Monday podcast. You can join our Facebook and Instagram by going to the show notes for this episode at ldsliving.com/Sunday on Monday. You can find the Unnamed Women series from Sunday on Monday on the brand new LDS Living podcast feed on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube. Just search for LDS Living Podcast and click follow to catch all the bonus episodes, limited series, and other projects from the LDS Living team. And for our weekly Come Follow Me podcast, just search Sunday on Monday on Deseret Bookshelf Plus. It's a great time to get into the podcast because, you guys, all of our summer episodes are going to be accessible to anyone with a Bookshelf Plus account. We're calling it the Summer of Joy. And by the way, mark your calendars because we are having an end of summer Joybalee event on August 24th. You can come down to the Deseret Book flagship store in Salt Lake for a live show featuring some of our regular podcast guests. And there will be cheese. Oh, of course there will be cheese. The Sunday on Monday Study Group is a Deseret Bookshelf Plus original brought to you by LDS Living. It's written and hosted by me, Tammy Uzalak Hall. And today, our fabulous study group participants were Holly and Ellery Howarth. And you can find more information about these friends at ldsliving.com/Sunday on Monday. Our podcast is produced by Kova Singer and me. It is edited and mixed by Kova Singer, and our executive producer is Aaron Hallstrom. Thanks for being here, and we'll see you next time. And please remember that even in the wilderness, you know what? Especially in the wilderness, you are God's favorite.